So, no, I saw you coming in and I remembered the recording because you always remind me. The Seder. So we all post Purim, so we have all this extra Kedusha that we didn't have before when we met last time. So hopefully we'll be able to unravel some of the stuff. One second. Yeah, I want to go back to that shtickle, the Koros HaTov shtickle there. There's what to discuss. Hopefully I have a bit more clarity. I'll show you what I've worked on. Also want to let you know, I found a sefer last week, which I've never seen before. It's not a new sefer, but it's an art scroll. Art scroll has a sefer on just on Shara B'Tochan. I'm sure they've got a sefer on the whole of art scroll on whatever. This is from last year sometime. And it's amazing. That's Mamash. It's answered. I found Pirushim that he brings down. He brings a lot from Rav Mattisyahu and from Avigdor Miller, which we've been using ourselves. So not too many chidushim there, but he brings from some other places as well, and he just has his own insights that have answered a lot of kashas I've been grappling with for a long time. This is one of them. Maybe it deals with it one way. We maybe look at it from another perspective, but I'm recommending it if you're learning and you want to make an asik out of Shara B'Tochan. This is probably the best I've seen in 30 years. I haven't seen something this useful. It's called Shara B'Tochan Misefer Chovas HaLevavos. It's an art scroll, Shara B'Tochan on Chovas HaLevavos. It's very expensive.
With a commentary, or
sure, yeah. With a commentary and explanations, and it's amazing. I've been through it. I went through it like just to see my Mevia. A lot of kashas that I've had for a long time that he deals with. He doesn't answer all the kashas. Mm. Some of the kashas you have to just live with kashas, but at least he's grappling with it. Very interesting. It was quite cute when I went to the bookstore to buy it. So I said, okay, how much is it? And he told me, and it's mamash expensive. I was mamash shocked. But it's a shaveli. Even if it was double, I would have taken it. He says to me, it's 120 shekels. So I said, wow, there's a yakar.
Yeah.
So the guy says to me, if that's your attitude, you probably need the safer, you know. So I'm just making a recommendation. You don't have to buy it. There's a copy in H. Kodesh as well, for those who want a copy to H. Kodesh. Fine. Okay. So I want to go back to, we're in Shah Dalit, as you know. And he spoke about that the Marechet is built here. Is you have to make Ishtadlis, but you have to know that the Panosa doesn't come because of the Ishtadlis. The Panosa comes because of a Gezeirah Mi'akadosh Baruch Hu, and you have to make Ishtadlis. We'll get into more why he holds you have to make ishtadlis. He spoke about it already, the different reasons why we need to make ishtadlis. But at the end of the day, he himself says it doesn't do anything in terms of the panosa. But that's what you have to do. It's one of the means to an end. You have to make ishtadlis, but you have to know that the panosa comes from Gzeiras Hashem. And we'll see the many ramifications of that. What happens if the panosa is not happening? What happens when the panosa does happen? How do you deal with intermediaries? Because it's not you just on a desert island digging up gold. The panosa comes from other people helping you doing your tovot. So he brought here from, let me just find it here now. He says like this. Ani tamaya mimi, I am a mina chassid. One of the Hasidim has said like this. I need to maya mimi shenoisin l'chavei rama shegozer lo etzla abayra. It starts with the giver. Let's look at the giver first. He gives somebody to somebody, gives stocker to somebody or whatever, or gives him a job. And then he evakach yaski lo tevos olav boy. Then he reminds him of the favor he did from him. V'yevakach lo ides olav, and he wants praise from him. He wants praise from him for having done the good for him. So he's astounded at this guy. When a person provides sustenance for another person, when you provide something for another person, so then you're just giving him what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's goes that he should give him anyway. So what do you want thanks for? You wouldn't have had the resources to give him if HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't let you do that. The benefactor has betochen in Hashem, then he knows whatever he shares with others was sent to by Hashem to share. So he doesn't expect thanks. On the contrary, he's the one that thanks Hashem for giving him the opportunity to be the shliach of this mitzvah. So he's a bit amazed by that guy, but he's even more stunned that he says, V'yoysanitomer, this is more sheikh to us, he's even more astounded, Mimishi kibul torpoi aliyadei acha, Muchrach letito eloi. He gets something from somebody that person was machayev to give you. He was forced to give it to you. If you're meant to get a check at the end of the month, then your boss is forced to give you a check at the end of the month. Look at Shualav. Because Baruch was going to say, you're going to get the money from this and this way, that and that place. So then this guy, your boss, is giving you a check. So he said, but he has to do that. So now the person receives these sustenance from somebody else, who Hashem anyway machived him to do that. And then he humbles himself to this person and he flatters him and he praises him when as if he was the guy that was providing the sustenance. So the Chavis Havava says he's amazed at this person who has all this praise and whatever for his benefactor. This guy gave you what you were supposed to get from a Kosh Bochu, Mazak Shualav. So yeah, you run into a big problem. Big problem. We raised this question last time. It seems that the Chavis Havava saying is, yeah, is when somebody does you a toiva, somebody gives you something. So you don't have to thank him. You don't have to have a chorus of toiv. You don't have to, for sure, you don't have to flatter him. That's a given. But the chorus of toiv, for sure, person has to have. You should say thank you. We go through the whole of Tanakh. You'll see that we see people having a chorus of toiv. We have people saying thank you when they receive benefits from other people. We'll see now how it works. I'll show you something very interesting. Well, the kashi is even bigger because the Chavis Halavav himself, in the beginning of Shara Avodas Elokim, in the Agdoma, in the Psicha to Shara Avodas Elokim, the gateway to serving Hashem, besides everywhere else in Chavis Halavav, this theme runs through the entire Chavis Halavav. It's like one of the foundations of the Chavis Halavav is this theme that he says like this in a few places. So he gives the reason why he's bringing this now after Shara Bechina and after Shara Yichud.
Which page are you on, Rabbi?
Huh?
Which page are you on? I'm in
Shara Avodas Elokim, right at the beginning. I'm a little bit further down in Amar Chava. I'm going to read in the Leif Toiv. About three lines down. He says, after it's become clear from the Sharim before, from Shara Bechir and Shara Yichud, HaChoyim tell us HaLadam, Keshetoivus Elu Brurus Loi, when you see all the Toivus that he discusses, though to Prokin that Hashem does, when it becomes clear to you, then you realize the Chiyuv you have. The Kabbalah Savoidus Elokim, you have to become upon yourself Avoidus Elokim. I'm not going to this now, that's not what we're learning. I just want to get to the Chorus of Tov. You see himself, he says this. The seichel machayev is a person when he receives a goodness. You have to praise, you have to thank, and recognize good. You have to give to makir toiv. You have to recognize the good. You have to have a chorus of toiv. That doesn't mean gratitude. A chorus of toiv means something else, but at least to be makir the toiv from the person who gave it to you. That's number one. But that's from God Hashem. Aval he doesn't. He says, "Umeanochen laber betchile hashaze." It's right in the beginning of this gate. We're going to explain. It's our funny mashonim shelatoyves shnebnei adam mativim leleze. I'll explain to you all the good things that people do for each other. The keitzarem chayvim lahaket toiv avurim. And now you chayv to have a chorus of toiv because of the things that people do for each other. Now, so you see, that's what he's saying. He says, I'm going to explain, and he goes on at Arichas there. He's going to explain all the different ways that people do goodness for each other. And the Seichel Machaims, you have a Chorus HaToiv. You have to be Maki Toiv, Lahoidos, to thank him in a Chorus HaToiv.
But who says... I didn't necessarily see clearly he had to thank him. That came from him, in order to Shem Navin was it that we'll understand through this Alachas Kamavak kama anachayim l'shabeach l'hoides l'boire yisbarach. The whole point is l'hoides l'boire yisbarach. Of course, you have to do it to the person also, but if you stop there, you're missing the point. That's what it sounds like to me.
For sure, the beginning of the chorus of Tov, the Kodesh Baruch Hu starts with the chorus of Tov, you have the person. The goal is the chorus of Tov. Because as he explains in Shara B'tochen, it's not the person that's doing you any toiver. The toiver is coming from Hashem. Do anything.
Right.
The chosid is tamua on the guy who has any chorus of toiv. Why do you have a chorus of toiv?
Right. So that's a stira. But we can understand.
Let the question. This is a question that's been bothering bigger people than you and me, Shlomo.
I understand. 100%.
You have to let the kasha settle. You have to let the kasha settle.
No, you made it clear from the case of the chassid. He says he's asking why is there even any reason to have any akarasot to the person if it's just all from Hashem?
Correct.
Whereas in with the avodas Elokim over there, it's clear that you do have to have akarasot on the person.
Correct. And not get stuck there. Obviously, you're correct.
Yeah. But you still need to do it.
To be fine, but you have to stop.
Because
otherwise, he's going on. He says, "V'miskaven lebe b'tchila shaze es ha'ofanim ha'shenim shel ha'toyves shnei ben adim mativim ze leze." He doesn't say that they do an act and it looks like they're mativim ze leze. No, you see that people are doing goodness for each other. But keitzerem chayvim laki toyva vuro. Now you're right. There's a moed to gediuk you just made. I just want to see if he says, The boy is Salamina Shabbat Hawaii over Red Chasodet. Hang on. He says, V'na'alem izeh al ma'ashan nuchayvim bo laborach. Oh, and then there's a level above that, which is the Hakaras HaTov you have to have to Hashem. You know, chinami. But he doesn't, and through the whole of the Chavis Levavos, you'll see there's an enormous, enormous emphasis on this Hakaras HaTov. Lamaisa, it's a Mefurusha Gemara, in Brochas, we spoke about it once before, about the Reach Tov and the Reach Ra. I don't have a brochas yet, but the Gemara there says, I think it's on Yutes somewhere, Alozoche, the Gemara says that what's the difference between a Reach Tov and a Reach Ra? So an Reach Tov says, whatever I got from the Baal HaBayis, he did only for me, what wonderful food and wonderful meat and all the beautiful stuff he gave me, whatever. And the Reach Ra is the opposite. He says, no, so what did I get? A bit of bread, a bit of meat, some vegetables, whatever. And he didn't do it for me. I just got leftovers. I just ate whatever his family was going to eat. I didn't warn him before I was coming. So we spoke about this. The problem here is not a question of being an Oreach Ra and Oreach Tov. Is what was the Metzias here? What actually happened? Did the Baal HaBayis prepare for him or not? You can't have two different realities. Otherwise, what are you comparing? If you're comparing two people and seeing how they respond differently, the situation has to be the same for both. So it's not a question of is he a Kaifa Tov? He's a liar. If the Baal HaBayis went and prepared a special meal for you and you say he didn't do it for me, he did it for himself, but the problem is not that you're an ingrate, the problem is you're a liar. You're an ingrate as well, but the problem is bigger, you're a liar. And if the guy didn't do anything for you, you popped in there by mistake, you know, about 15 minutes before Shabbos came in, and you said, please can I, whatever, and your plane landed, you got stuck, whatever the scenario is, and you arrived at his doorstep 1 minute before Shabbos, they for sure didn't cook for you on Shabbos. So whatever you're eating on Shabbos, he didn't cook for you, he cooked for himself and his family. So you'll say, no, he did everything for me. Wow, this guy, look what he did for me. Oh, this guy's been up all night just for me. So you're stubborn, Meshugana. So what's the Gemara talking about there? What's the Gemara talking about? So you'll see, we're going to discuss this now. It's a big, big problem. Is even if the guy didn't do it for you, but you received benefit, then you also have to have a chorus of faith. I'm not going to go into the whole sugi now about how that works, but we'll see. He's going to explain it as well now. And not only that, but if the guy was misgoverned to you do good, but he was stopped from doing you good, you also have to have a chorus of faith because he wanted to do good for you, but he wasn't able to. So we'll have to see what the Gedorim are. So it's very interesting. He brings from Rabbi Yaakov Emden. He quotes from Rus. He quotes from Ruth, the way Ruth thanked Boaz for the barley, for the benefit that he gave her. It's interesting the way he thanked her. And this, I think, is the maftach to understanding this. It's a bit like you were saying, Shlomo. So the pasuk, it says, Ruth thanked Boaz, and she said, "I found favor in your eyes." She thanked him because she found favor in his eyes. She didn't thank him for the wheat. But she got wheat, barley, whatever she got from him. But that's not what she said thank you for. It means the wheat and the barley came from Hashem, not you, Boaz. I don't need you for the wheat and the barley. You just gave me what Hashem was forced you to give me anyway. But the fact that you looked at me kindly, the fact that you made I'm gonna stretch this into my own understanding a little bit. The fact that you made a decision to help me, the fact that you made a bechira, that you wanted to be the person to help me, that I'm thanking you for. But for the etzem, what I received, has got nothing to do with you. So that I don't have to thank you for. But I have to thank you for you being kind. You did a kind thing. You could have decided not to give it to her. She would have got it anyway. Boaz couldn't not give her, yes, give her a starve and not starve if it wasn't Gozer from Shemaim. Because Gozer from Shemaim, she's going to get so much and so much food. And it was not you, it'll be somebody else. So he chose to be the nice guy and to do it. He chose to do the mitzvah. He used his bechira properly. So you thank him for his bechira. And that you have to thank him whether you got it or not. That you have to thank him whether he did it for you or not. He gave you food. He gave you food. He prepared it for you. There, the Gemara, by the way, that the Mephoshim, that's talking about the Balabas, the real Balabas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you went into somebody's house on Friday night and they didn't know you were coming, so how are you going to say, well, everything the Balabas did, he did only for me? Yeah, because he did. HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranged that the food that you're eating now would be prepared and nicer, ready for you for Shabbos. That's the Balabite that you're talking about, not the guy's house you're in. God's house you, and you have to thank him because he was nice and he served you the food and he used his bechira to give you food and to give you an extra portion. And you have to say thank you for it. You have to have a korosat toif for that. And the Gemara says, if you don't have a korosat toif to people, eventually you'll be koifet toif to a korosh baruch. Because without a korosat toif, can't get olam haba. It's a very, very big problem. Rav Dester has a whole discussion about that. A person who doesn't, what is a korosat toif? How does it come? Where does it come from? Okay, but that's how Rabbi Yaakov Enden explains it. The one who deserves the thanks is Hashem, because Hashem is the one that gave you what you needed. That's for sure. But the person used his bechira to carry out the mitzvah, helping another person. For that, you have to thank him. For his kindness, for his using his bechira properly. That you have to have a chorus of it. But not for the thing that he gave you. And for sure, not to flatter him and feel beholden to him. And yeah, I better be nice to him when he speaks up. He calls us, I'll keep quiet because if I'm horrible to me, then I won't get a check from him. And you know, no, the person's not scared to tell the truth to this person. You, because you know that he's not your Valdova. He's not doing anything for you. He chose to be nice to you, so you have to say thank you, Vizel. But it doesn't mean that you recognize that it didn't come from him. It came from Hashem. But he made a nice decision and you found favor in his eyes, as Ruth puts it. So there you say thank you for that. You have a chorus of toy for that. There's more that sometimes Hashem forces your choices also. Sometimes you didn't have a choice. You know that you don't have bechira in every area. Sometimes you do something and it wasn't a bechira. You just Hashem forced you because he wanted you to be the one to give it to him for whatever reason. But we have no way of ever knowing that. So if somebody does something for you, then yeah, you have to be you have to have a korosat toif. The conclusion, the consequence of what we've just said, yeah, is that the same as with the ishtadlis that you're making. A person shouldn't fall too much in love with his ishtadlis either. If the person sees that he has success in the ishtadlis that he's making. The person sees that he had ishtadlis. He bought a business and he started working and he started doing well. Same thing. You don't have any HaKadosh Baruch Hu, any feelings of wonderment about this particular ishtadlis that you're making because it's coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem decided that you're going to succeed. Doesn't mean you shouldn't enjoy the work you're doing. A person should enjoy the work he's doing. You have to thank Hashem for that you have ishtadlis that you enjoy doing. Not everybody can work at things they enjoy. So yeah, that for sure you have to have HaKadosh Baruch Hu for. But you shouldn't get too caught up in the wow, well, this is unbelievable business. Phew. What a gewaldige business I found here, and what an unbelievable idea I had. And not about Gaiva, not about Koich Veitzim Yodi. I'm talking even on a more sophisticated level, more subtle level, that a person can become enamored with these ishtadlis and forget that really the ishtadlis didn't do anything. So that's part of the upshoot from what this chosid saw. Another crop out of this is what happens, and he's going to discuss this now. Vim lo yeviu ateref alaponim asher sivav aleihem. What happens if the sustenance, the panosa, the person's trying to come get, doesn't come from this particularly ishtadlis that he was going after? So there gives quite a few reasons what could be going on here. In other words, person chooses, using the criteria we saw earlier, to make sure that he's making the right ishtadlis. He comes with the right ishtadlis. He comes with what's matim for him, what he enjoys doing, all the things that he mentioned there in Shagimel. And now he's making this ishtadlis. And it's not happening. This kumtish, it's not coming. Before he had a problem of what happens when it comes. Okay, he's got a whole sugya of how he deals with the benefactor and the korosatoiv and the hoidois, whatever, and splitting apart Hashem from the person. Fine. But now he's got another problem. Now it's not happening. The panos is not coming. So he says it could be. Could be that today's panos already came to him and it's in his possession right now. Hashem gave him the needs for today by giving him extra yesterday. You know, normally you get, let's say, $50 a day. Yesterday Hashem gave you $100. You go, wow, that's gewaldig. I got all this extra money, but then today didn't give you anything. Because he gave it to you yesterday. That might be a reason. Could be another reason is that Hashem gave you assets. It could be that Hashem gave you certain assets that you could sell. In other words, you had money before that was surplus. You bought something with it. Now you need the money, so you'll sell it. And you'll have the money that way. So the panosa is already in your possession. You just don't realize it. So you might be thinking, well, I'm not getting any money. The ishtadlis is not working. What's going to be? No, you could have the money already from the ishtadlis. Oh, Shebola al Pari Machairim. The panos will come from somewhere else. You think this deal's going to make it, this work's going to do it. Come from somewhere else. You get a check back from the receiver, you get a whatever. There's all different ways that the money may come to you. He doesn't say this, but I'll say it myself. But sometimes you'll see, I don't know, somebody brings this down. It's not my idea, although it's posh, everybody knows this. Sometimes you won't be getting the money, but you'll see that you won't have any expenses either. I know people that when they make money, so suddenly you need the dentist and you need this and you need the washing machine breaks. And and sometimes you go through 2-3 years and you suddenly realize, oh, it's unbelievable. I wasn't making so much money, but I actually did better now than I did last year when I was making a lot of money because I just didn't have any expenses. Like none of the kids' teeth needed treatment, you know, whatever. Just somehow nobody needed clothes. Nobody, it was, that's also sometimes how it works. So, but the panos could come from a son from another way. He says, "Valeiz upon him shiye, roi lo lisasek besibois, v'al yarpe v'chozer aleim." Whatever way it ends up that a person's getting what he needs, it's proper him to continue to work at the ishtadlis that he's made. He should stick to the ishtadlis he's chosen, and he shouldn't slacken from pursuing those means. He shouldn't let up and not keep going after that particular ishtadlis. On condition, we'll see there's a few conditions. Obviously, if this ever happens, you have to ask Shalas. It's not so posh. Not posh at all. You have to ask Anonim Godel whether you should give up this panos and try get another one. The obvious one is if your panos becomes obsolete. Yeah, that happens to people. People that were in certain businesses and those businesses became absolutely obsolete. The entire Antwerp Frum community made their panos out of diamonds. Within 3 years, there wasn't one from diamond dealer left in Antwerp. The whole thing just became, they became dinosaurs. That's what happened to the diamond dealers in Antwerp. There was nothing left for them there. South Africa also. When I first went fundraising in South Africa, I spent 3-4 days going around in the diamond exchange. On the last few trips, I didn't even go. There was no one there to talk to. The Frum Yidden ran the diamond exchange in South Africa. Today, they're not Frum Yidden in the diamond exchange. Maybe one or two rare creatures. Well, it's a very, very, it's an obsolete profession. So for sure, then you don't carry on doing it if it's not Shaykh. That's not called Vered Ishtadlis anymore. If your physical needs change, let's say you were doing a job that required a lot of physical exertion. And now a person, God forbid, doesn't have that anymore. He got ill, he's got older. So then for sure, then that's not valid ishtadlus anymore. Not appropriate, maybe is a better word, not appropriate ishtadlus for him anymore. But all being equal, what he's saying, yeah, is just because the panasa doesn't seem to be coming from this ishtadlus, provided that the panasa suits your midas and your physical ability and it's matim for you, and it fits in with your ability to be over Hashem as well. It means you have to take into account your spiritual needs as well. It's not enough to just say, well, this suits my body and my midas and I enjoy and I'm doing it, whatever, but I can't get to shachris in the morning. So that's also going to be a problem. It has to be able to, that's what he means. As he said, that's what he brought down there in Perigimel. He should have, with this effort that he's making together, he should have trust in Hashem. Hashem won't forsake him, Hashem won't ignore him, Hashem will take care of him and send him his panasa. It's not coming from this ishtadlus. It was never coming from the ishtadlus. As long as the ishtadlus is the appropriate ishtadlus that you're supposed to be making, it means it's not obsolete, it fits your character, your physical, whatever, it fits who you are. This is a matim lacha, as we say in Hebrew. This is what you're supposed to be doing, you know? And for sure, you it should be something that you enjoy. You got to do it anyway. You might as well do something you enjoy. That doesn't mean that every second of your work and what you do will be enjoyable. But overall, you know, you don't wake up in the morning and want to commit suicide because you got over to work. You know, if that's how you're feeling, then you should think about maybe finding something else. You don't always have a choice, by the way. Sometimes, okay, that's also, but that's why you have to ask somebody who's objective. Kamo Shenema, it says there in the Navi there, it says, Tov Hashem lema'oiz b'yoyim tzore v'yeide choy seboy. Hashem is ma'oiz, whatever, translate that, ma'oiz, he gives or whatever, he's ma'oiz, he's strong, he's a bastion of strength on the day that you have distress, and mindful of those who take refuge. If you have a tochen in Hashem, so then he will take care of you. He's always thinking about our needs. He's always worrying and concerned and thinking about what we need, and he will take care of us. That's the bottom line. A person has to mechazek his betochen. So there we now have dealt with panosa. If you don't make ishtadlus, what can happen? The two possibilities. Hashem will have to make a nais and you'll lose your schar from that. Or the person won't have a nais and then bad things will happen to him and he'll have to give din v'cheshbon why he brought bad things upon himself. What happens when he does have hatzlocha? Where to have a koras atoiv? How to have a koras atoiv? And when things are not going the way he wants them, to have betochen and to mechazak himself, knowing that Hashem's taking care of him. That itself is a lifetime's work. Just these 1.5 pages we learned now, that's a ganz big work. Now he's going to switch to another subject. He applies the same principles. Yeah, it's very interesting. Not everybody does. But remember, he's not working from b'zayis ha'pecha toich ha'lechem. According to the Mesilas Yesharim, schoilek heavily on the chovos halavavos, why you have to make ishtadlus. We saw from the chovos halavavos that the chiyuv of ishtadlus comes before the chet of Adam HaRishon. It comes from v'shem v'ayved. He gave him the gun to work. And the chovos halavavos, we saw the chiddush, remember, we saw there, and Tisiyahu speaks it out, that the ishtadlus was because Hashem gave him a deraisa mitzvah that you have to make ishtadlus. Not dafka because of Gzei Sepecha, the klala afterwards. For sure, the klala came afterwards. But that was a different type of ishtadlus with different ramifications that it interfered with your avodas Hashem, whatever. So according to those that learn that all the ishtadlus is only because of Gzei Sepecha Teich Alechem, then what's preserving your health got to do with that? What's shiduchim got to do with that? Where did those chim of ishtadlus come? But the chovos halavavos is not a problem because you have a chiv to make ishtadlus min ha-Torah already. Not just for panasa, but for all the 7 categories that he discussed right at the beginning of this perek. I don't remember all the 7 now, but we'll see as we go through them. The first one we're dealing with now is his physical being that concerns him in this world. That means his health, his panasa, his ishtadlus. Now he's going to discuss health here. Very interesting what he says. usually it's not something we have in our faces, you know, but the last year, this has been the big question. What's a frum Jew's approach to dealing with medical issues? So that he's going to deal with. Maybe Mitzvah Hashem will start that next week. It's already, I don't know, you want to at least start it? And once we start it, we're not going to be able to stop. Hey, let's stop there. Maybe if you've got
any. It's also part of the Shtadlus Sugya. The Shtadlus for Panase, Shtadlus for Refuah. Now
that's why he's bringing it now. The two things. That's why I said he has place to bring that here. Because for him, the Shtadlus is not kosher directly to Bezayis Tapecha Toich Alechem. According to the Mitzvah Yesharim, that the whole Chiyuv of Ishtadlus, because of the Plala of Bezayis Tapecha Toich Alechem, you have to go look for another source. The gap's not that big, because even the Chovos Lavovos is going to tell you that the Chiyuv of Refuah comes from the Pasuk also. Yerape, yeah? That's where it comes from. Everybody agrees it comes from there. But for him, it's not a big difference, because they're both just the rices. Shemiv Ha'ivid is the rice of Panosa, and Yerap is the rice of Rufa. So he applies the same principles across the board. That's what makes us very fascinating.
Right.
You see, it's very challenging as well.
Even according to the other Shita, who might will get from the Pasuk, it's still Ishtadlus, just comes from a different Makor.
We'll see. That's a big
machloikas.
That's a big machloikas between the Rambam and the Ramban. We'll maybe look at it again. Yeah, I remember Ellie, we learned it. When did we learn that? We learned that we spent quite a lot of time. We went through that. Rav Matisyahu is a fascinating piece there from Rav Dessler. We'll touch on it now. We're gonna see it inside, and that's where.
Maybe will you open that up, because that's quite interesting to see.
No, we will. I will open it up. I'll have to get Eddie's permission, because I don't want to bore Ellie to death, and then he'll stop coming. You see, so I don't want that. No, Ellie was the one that caused the subject. We were learning this in Taub in the morning, and then this question came up about Refuah. So Ellie asked a very difficult question then about this subject. So I started doing some homework. We weren't learning Shara B'tochen at the time. But I started searching and looking around, and I found this shtickle in Rav Matisyahu, brings this shtickle from Rav Dessler that reconciled the Ramban and the Rambam. Because most people just learn that's a machloikas and whatever, but you'll see there's no machloikas. It's unbelievable.
Chazara is always good, Ellie.
No, we're going to do it. You'll see, it's fascinating.
It's really good.
The Ramban, I'll just tell you now, on the surface, if you walk away only with this, you're getting it wrong. But I'll just to whet your appetite, to make sure you come back next week, the we'll see the Chovos Lavovos Shita as well, but there's a Ramban and a Rambam. The Rambam holds you have a chiyuv to go to a doctor. Not even a question. The Ramban holds it's osur to go to a doctor. Okay? That's a big machlekes. That's been a kotza la kotza machlekes. You'll see what Rav Dessler learns up a machlekes rishonim, just for the limud of lelf. Unbelievably fascinating. And it's hard, because there's psukim that go against each one. There's riyas connected both of them. There's big riyas against the Rambam from Asa. The posuk says Asa. It says Asa went to a doctor. It says Reife. What's a doctor doing in your house? Asa was given terrible oinshim because he went to the doctor. What's the Rambam going to do with that? And there's riyas that what does the Rambam do with Yerapa? A big sugya there. You'll see it's hard to unravel. And Rav Dessler just like it's mamash. It's like a hot knife through butter. It's an unbelievable piece of Torah. So Mitzvah Shem, we'll look at that as well. That's what we're going to be dealing with, Mitzvah Shem, the next few weeks. We'll deal with the Refuah. So this Vaad, Mustama can carry on Bainas Manim. I don't see why we need to stop it. The rest of them are Gemara Shem. I can't see myself carrying on Bainas Manim. I'm going to take a bit of a break. But haven't had a break for a year. You know, I'm entitled to... I realized yesterday when I took the day off, it's the first day I've taken off in a year. Badly needed, badly needed. Now I'm preparing two Gemara Shirim every day. It's the law picnic for a year now. And Sugis, I've never heard Shirim myself. Learning Shabbos, I never learned Shabbos before. So yeah, it's been challenging. But this Vaad in Metz Hashem, if you guys want, if you're around, we can keep going. I don't see why not. Beseder, all right.
Thank you.
Have a good night. Take good care. Lovely having everybody back. Ellie, you have to pop into the Beis Midrash, even if you put on a whatever, like a lead suit or something. You have to come back and see the guys. We have to see you.